Praise the Lord. Thank Him. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, how can we say that, I don't know, for everyone here, maybe some of you have had a challenging year, but overall, 2016 could have been worse than what it was. Huh? It really wasn't that bad, was it? I mean, you know, wow, we're here, yeah. We made it. We're the survivors. Yeah, overcomers. I was saying, out of 100 things you could be thankful for, there's a few little bumps in the road, but overall, we ate lunch every day, more or less. We had sleep at night. We had people, we had friends, probably had some money dribbling in from some direction. We had, you know, and most importantly, all right, so we have about 3 principles, and you may be seated. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We did have an amazing service last night. If you... It really was. How many were here, actually? How many were here? Yeah. You got to see it. If you didn't see, you got to see it on the internet. It was the testimony by Tom was greetings from around the world. One soul is worth the entire world. The message on the ship. And it was so funny. David mentioned in the offering about the wind and the sailing. And I have a sail. Yesterday I thought to bring it in. I mean, I have a number of sails for my windsurf board. And I want to do a little lesson on sailing. It'd be fun. And he happened to mention it. And yesterday I thought to do it and have it right on stage with a fan over here, so we knew what direction the wind is coming from. And the whole thing, I got it all figured out, but never did it. It didn't happen. Wishful thinking. No, the right time will come. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, very simply, verse 11. For other foundation, read it with me. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Ready? For other foundation, read it real loud. Like a Raven Stadium, okay, with the purple and everything. Okay, ready? Verse 11. This other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ah, very active group over here on my right. Okay, new foundation. New Year's resolutions that were made last night. In some cases, drunken stupors, in late night, last minute promises, many resolutions. What do you think some of them were? Lose weight. Over here. Lose weight. Lose weight. What? Save money. Oh, save, brand new idea. Save money. Okay. What else? Try harder. Stop drinking. Eat better. Stop smoking. Yeah. Pardon? Win a soul. Pray more. Go to church more often. Pardon? Laugh more. Okay. All right. These resolutions sometimes are kept. But I want you to see something. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 17. The Corinthians doubted that Paul would come and visit them because he had promised, and they really were bringing his character into question. And he said, regarding coming to you, in verse chapter 1, verse 17, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? When I was minded to come to you, did I use lightness? You know how we can say, I ran into this problem, because in Hungary, when we lived there, their English level wasn't as, and when we say subjunctive mood, we use the word may, don't we? I may come and see you. I may. Maybe I will meet you for lunch. And how do they hear it? I will meet you for lunch. I will visit you. But we have this in all languages. You have this softer way of saying possibly. So I learned to say there is a 10% possibility. Because I had so many people misunderstand. I disappointed. I lost half the church. Okay, it was like, so I realized. Now, when Paul said, when I purposed to come to you, did I use lightness? Look at verse 17. Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea and nay? Now, those are old English words. They still use them in Europe, different places. Yea and nay. I think the Dutch, do they, Pastor Pete, what's there? The Dutch say nay? Nay. In Denmark, they do. They go, nay. It's like, whoa. Yeah, how could you say that again? Okay, is that true, Pula? Or, yeah, Helena's from Norway? Yeah, nay. Okay. When I come, do I come saying yes and no? Or New Year's resolution, I promise that I lose weight, I would say using that one, yes, but actually maybe no. Around the time of July, I've forgotten all about it. It's over. Promise is over. Okay? Now it gets better. Verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. This is serious. I found with God I could be serious. Because I have another foundation. The other foundation that we live in is a me. My determination, my strength, my ability. And I give credit to people that have that kind of strength, determination, focus, and ability. I'm not demeaning it, but it has a limit. It has a limit. There's something now in your life that was not there before. When you were born again, God gave you a new heart. And now, with your heart, you love God and you are serious about it. The Holy Spirit did it. We got a new heart, a new foundation that nobody can lay down that foundation. No man can do what God did through Christ. No man can produce the people that God has produced through Christ. No society, organization, educational program, determination, the Green Beret, these warriors of extra training, what are their names? The Rangers, Green Beret, the SEALs, Navy SEAL, Delta Force. I mean, these are the extremely special group of people that have an amazing strength, but even they cannot do what God is looking for. That is happening in you and me. That is based on something that doesn't come from our nature, that comes from His grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at what Paul said. You think when I was deciding to come to you that it would be light, that I would decide and it would be changing? Yes, it could be. But I want to direct you to something greater. For with God, God is not a God of yes and no, yea and nay. He's not going to change his mind. Once he started this, he's going to finish it. He's not going to back off regarding your life. Even if you fail miserably, he's not going to back off. He's not going to quit. For with the promises of God are not yea and nay, yes and no. The promises of God are yea and amen. Hebrew word is the amen. Yea is our English word and amen. Look at how it is written. Verse, we read 18 and now 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. What God has promised is yea. And there's no equivocation, no contest, no compromise, no cutting a bad deal, no flipping it over, no changing his mind, no shenanigans. Pastor Aiden loves that word over there. I think it's an Irish word. Is it an Irish word? Shenanigans. No shenanigans. Cut out the shenanigans. Now, look at verse 20. Here it is. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Under the glory of God by us. Okay. Now, that's our first point. Our resolutions are not yea and nay. Our way of thinking, and we'll cover some of this today in our message here. Our focus is what God has promised us and the person that he's provided to make it happen. Turn now to Hebrews, please, in chapter 7. New foundation, new birth, new spirit, new heart, and a renewed mind. We are now capable of having this doctrine go in our spirit and believe it and embrace it. You and I get tired out. We go, it's yea, Lord, and with me it's yea and nay. With me, Lord, you know how I waffle. You know how I'm good for 3 weeks. And then that day comes, I'm nowhere to be found. I've disappeared. God said, where is he? Where is he? Where did he go? The angels go, where? What happened to him? No. We have God's eyes are always on us. His promises are always yea and amen. For he has given us his Son. And this is Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 15. It is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Not a priest that would come and die, and his son would take over, and he would die, and another priest, and another priest, and priests that would go to sleep, and priests whose arms would get tired, or a priest would say, there's arthritis in my elbow, I cannot do the service anymore. Or a priest that would be, I go home and oversleep and not make it back to the temple. A human being, in other words, just simply a priest who could be yea and nay, yes and no, kind of like us, yes and no, yes and no. Yeah, we do well, and then yes and no. But our priest, in verse 16, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Did Jesus fall asleep a minute ago on the throne? Is Jesus lost somewhere? Are Jesus's all the things that Jesus has done for us? Has any of it fallen into oblivion? Is anything that Christ is and what he's done for us, has it ever been tarnished, blemished? Has it lost its focus or power? None of it. He is a priest after the power of an endless life. For he testified, verse 17, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is what I want to say today. We are entering this year, and no one knows what a year will bring, but we can know for sure who is with us. We can be for sure who is praying for us this year. He is in heaven with a ministry that is guaranteed, with a new foundation, not people, but a foundation that no man can lay, a new thing that men could never do. The anointing of the Spirit of God in our lives and in our hearts, a new way now. So we are able to actually be determined or be serious. Like Paul said, what? Do you think I'm a lightweight? And the things that I've determined to do, do you think it's done in lightness? Like with me, it is yes and no. But don't you know that my life is based on another foundation? And with God, the promises are yea and amen. Don't you know that the power of God that dwells in us has given us something that we never had before? That we have this ability. In the words of the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amazing. When I was on a university campus years ago as a student, I remember in the spring semester, 1972, walking the sidewalks, and there was something burning in my heart. I didn't know what it was. I was Catholic, brought up Catholic. I had gotten saved. I had accepted Christ. I didn't know what it was, but I was looking. I was interested. What is it? I can't do this. I'm not going to go off and do something by my own strength. But I don't know what it is that is happening in my heart. I love it, like with Dustin and Lindsay and their mom and dad here. That's great. I love it that there was something that happened, and without frozen for a shot, and there's something happening that's like not light, like yes and no, like New Year's resolutions may be like that. But this isn't like that. Our whole life is not based on something light. Our whole life is based on the most serious thing that has ever happened in the universe. That God gave his Son. And us believing in the Son of God has produced a new birth. And this new heart and Spirit of God that dwells in us has given us an ability not to use lightness, but to relate to God. And say, do you think this is a light thing that we are here today? No, this is based on God being faithful to us. That God showed up when nobody else did. That God gave his Holy Spirit to us when the world could give us nothing, actually. But just jokes and lightness and systems and programs and strange spirits and weirdness and all kinds of empty things. But look at this with me. Verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. How many times have we found that? Put your shoes away. Okay. Clean your room. Okay. Change the oil in your car. Okay. Go to school. Okay. Study your spelling test, your spelling words. Get ready for the exam. Okay. Show up on time. Okay. All of that is an important part of life. But we also know that the law, it just points out my failure, my character flaw, my inability, my disinterest, my carelessness. It's like a mirror that shows me that my face has a spot. Maybe one little speck. You know those mirrors that kind of magnify your face? You look at the mirror, it's like huge. Okay, the law can be that one or just a mirror. But the mirror can't wash your face. The mirror can't change your life. The mirror can't go into your heart. The mirror can't give you fortitude and strength and focus and interest. The mirror can't give you a dream and a vision and thoughtfulness and care for other people. The mirror can't give you love. The mirror can only point out what's wrong with you. So here it says in verse 19, the law made nothing perfect. It couldn't produce the relationship, but the bringing in of a better hope did. That's what we're talking about. We have something to go into this new year that the world doesn't have. We have something growing in us. We have something moving in us. We have a living hope. And that living hope brought something into our hearts that wasn't there before. Look at verse 19. The bringing of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Okay, we're going to finish up here in a minute. I talked to a man who got off of heroin the other day. He was in his car in Dundalk. And he said he had died. He was in the hospital. They saved his life by a process with antibiotics because his heart had an infection from a dirty needle. And he knew it, but he didn't do anything about it. Finally, it reached a point where he went into the hospital, but he died. They got him back, and I talked to him, and I shared that last night in the message. And he said, you know, I'm not religious. I don't care about it. I had an evil relative who abused me as a child, and they were religious. And I have just no interest. I don't care about it. And it says here that Jesus, not the law, but Jesus as a priest brings a better hope. And by that hope, we draw near God. And I said to the man, you can bring, he may be here today, I don't know, but he may come, I'm not sure. But anyway, this drawing near to God is something God does. He draws you near to himself. You are born again by believing in him. And then this living, better hope draws you near to God. And this is where the fun happens. I am near God. God is near me. We are in this new year, having lived the years of the past with this hope, this new set of this reference that's not yea and nay. But it's yea and amen. It's a sure thing. That God is for you is a sure thing. That his Son is in heaven on our behalf praying for us is a sure thing. That though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, maybe this year, for this past year we lost some brothers and sisters. No, we didn't really lose them. They just went to that great big birthday party up in heaven. And we're at a little party over here. And a car pulls up and said, hey, you go in and get that. He's going to the big party. I don't want to leave. I'm in the little party. No, you're going to the bigger one. Let's go. Your time is there. How do I fear? No, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? For I have overcome, Jesus said, I say to you that if you heard me, believed in what I said, that you would see the glory of God. The glory of God. That's better than the same old hamburger. The glory of God. That's better than the same old sidewalk. The glory of God. That's better than the same old personality. The glory of God. That's better than this life. Yeah, we love the life, but there's something even better. And that our Savior, the Son of God, who came and gave us a living hope and a new foundation, so that it is yea and amen. And though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they will comfort me. And through church history, they say people that are pastored with the word of God and they learn this book, they face death with such a smile and such a peace. We are being prepared by the things that are yea and amen. They get in us. And I have a short list here. This coming year, I think God could lead you in prayer in a certain way where you'll get excited about it. Prayer that moves mountains. I think some of us could say, God, give me a prayer life like I never had before. Or God, move me in prayer that I discover why people are excited about it. That you could do this because this is your son. It's your son that's the point. Not us, but your son is yea and amen. Your son dwells within us. Therefore, our prayers move mountains and our prayers are powerful. And we are praying people. And we're praying for the United States of America, that there be a revival in the United States. We can feel it, think about it, and speak about it, and find it this coming year that God will do it because it is based on Him in our faith. The second thing I wanted to say, Bible reading. This year, you know, you could say a chapter a day. A proverb chapter a day, 4 or 5 psalms every day, 1 chapter of Proverbs in a day, 10 pages. I met a businessman one time ago. He said, I just read 10 pages every day. It's automatic. Every day I read 10 pages of the Bible, and I go right through the Bible year after year after year, and it means a lot to me. It comes back to my mind when I'm driving my car. Comes back to my mind when I'm falling asleep. It comes back to my mind when I wake up in the morning. Proverbs 6:22 says that the word, it counsels me when I walk along the way. It keeps me when I am asleep, and it speaks to me when I awake, in verse 22. Maybe some of you could say, I'll take that. I want to do that. I want to go into this year. I want to be a Bible reader. I want to be a person learning my Bible. Some of you are the millennials, and you got iPhones and all the technology. And may God be with you. God bless you. And however you do it. But I got the old pages, and they fall apart and all that. You know what I mean. I'm of that generation. But anyway, I got it. I know where on the pages things are. I've got the particular edition that I got. Jack Hiles calls it my mama's Bible. The Bible that came down from my mother. My Bible that raised me as a child. The Bible that spoke to me as a teenager. Bible that led me in my middle ages. The Bible that'll take me all the way through. It's so precious to me. Become a Bible reader. You can do it because it's a new foundation. Nobody can lay this foundation but this one, where the promises of God are yea and amen. God will do it. And then the third thing I want to say, effort. Effort. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Jesus said, what do you mean, Lord? Strive. Yes, he said that. Strive. Make the effort. Enter in at the straight gate. Here is Jesus saying those simple words. You make an effort. You determine it. You make an effort. You strive to enter in. The entry way is narrow, small, little rabbit trail off of 95. You pull over at 95. What are you doing? I'm going to finding a very little. No one is. Millions of cars. And then we'll pull over by the side, go over, walk down into the grass. There's a little rabbit trail. That's the trail I'm going. That's my way. Yes, it's weird. Yes, it is. But I found when I go through there, into that little narrow way, I strive to enter into that way. I make an effort to get there. It doesn't just happen. Like accidentally or stumbling into Walmart or Taggart shop. I mean, Target. And it doesn't just happen. It's like I strive to enter in there. I make an effort to get to the church. I make an effort to what I'm reading. I make an effort to what movies that I am watching, if I watch them at all. I make an effort to the TV program and the channel. I make an effort regarding the radio and my dear friends and the people that don't talk to me anymore. May God bless them and have your way in life. But I strive to enter into that inner way, and I come out in this whole new world that's like a beautiful place. A peace and blessing, prosperity, love, freedom. Okay, closing. You are in a family. Make it, this is a long message, but here it is. I'll just share this short finishing. Have you ever noticed some people are very social, very relational? They're very precious people. They love to be with people. They love to be around people. They love to sit and talk. And then other people are not that way. Have you ever noticed that? Just look to your neighbor, ask them the question, what kind are you? Okay, the other people, maybe like, you know, rational, solid, objective, not so relational. They come into the meeting here. If they come at all, they come in. They don't want to talk to anybody. They want to come in. I had one lady through years come in late and leave early just so she couldn't talk to anybody, because that's the way she was wired and the way she is. You know what? If you are very social, you should be here for a spiritual reason. And if you're very the other way, by yourself, like maybe objective and rational and not relational so much, more like an engineer or something, you have to be here too. You have to be here. You know, the circus clown needs to be here. You know, and the nerdy guy that's like calculating things while we're talking. You know, he needs to be here. And why do I say it? Because we are born again into a family. And in that family is something that I need. And in that family is something that is fresh. In that family is something that'll help me. I don't have it all together. That socially minded, extroverted, and the other one also. You may have it all together in some way, but do you have any, you know, do you have any spiritual life? Do you have love? Do you have freedom? Do you have peace? Maybe you do. And the way you have it is by this new foundation where the promises are yea and amen. And the family of God, God's people, is part of that plan. Our home this year will be a blessed place. Please stop fighting at home. Please be more careful with your words at home. Please be very gracious with each other at home. Don't be nitty picky. What was that called? Nitpicky. Nitty. Don't be nitty. What? How do you say it? No. Don't be nitpicky. Okay. Don't get on each other's case and drive it. Loosen up. Laugh. Sing. Be thankful. Come on. It's a great life to live. Let's wake up and smell the roses. God is with us. God gave us His Son, and through His Son and with His people, we are able to do awesome. Would you pray with me, please? Okay, pray with me, please. If you're here this morning and you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need Him. You must believe in Him. He takes your sins away. You might say, I have my sins. I keep my sins. I will pay for my sins. Then you are lost. You'll never make it. You'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot take your sin away. How can a dirty man clean himself? How can you get rid of your sin? Only the blood of Jesus does it. And He does it today for you. Believe in Him. Say, Jesus, I believe in You. Today, raise your hand, please. Anyone here, raise your hand. Saying yes to Jesus, anybody? Yes to Jesus, I believe in You. Raise your hand, saying yes. Thank You, sir. God bless you. There's a man. Thank you. You're born again by believing. You're born again by believing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. I want to say one thing before we take our communion. Valentino, who's in the back, he's one of these men. Would you stand just for a second? This man blesses me so much. He's been with us for a good period of time. But I want to say, the other day, he was in Florida working, and he drove up to make our, was it the Wednesday night service? Friday night. Wednesday night, yeah. He's in Florida. He drives all the way to Baltimore to go to our service, to make it to the evening service. Isn't that amazing? Then so he's a guy that gets the long, the distance. But sometimes he works in Washington, D.C., and he'll drive here to the lunch wrap. And he's a man of prayer, a man of faith, and we love this guy. We love you. Thank you. God bless you.